relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
And I'm very excited to be here with all of you. I am Trish Regan. I am in for my friend Seb Gorka, and we've got a lot of good news to talk about. Good news for a change. How about that? First of all, the president has pardoned Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn, who went through H-E-double-L and back. He got a really good lawyer in the way of Sidney Powell, and she got this whole thing turned around for him. She did want to sort of stick with it because that judge that got really political at the 11th hour, she wanted to see him fully exonerated. But given the sort of questionable politics of the moment, it made sense to see Michael Flynn actually get the pardon. And in fact, the president did. Let me get to this other good news coming out of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania judge there halting the election certification amid this whole mail-in vote fight. Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, the whole team down there today trying to persuade this judge. And indeed, the judge is saying that they need to halt the certification until some of this gets all worked out. They're going to be back in the hearing on Friday. The lawsuit, of course, that the Trump campaign has filed is that the Pennsylvania mail-in voting law violated the state's constitution. Now, if it violated the state's constitution, what does that mean for the actual results? That's a bit of good news in terms of those who want to see those results overturned. Meanwhile, more news coming to us out of Nevada. A huge court win lets Donald Trump present ballot evidence could overturn Nevada result. That is the headline coming to us right now from the Washington Examiner. Now, not a ton of electoral votes there in Nevada, but, you know, every little one counts right now. And if he were to be successful in overturning Pennsylvania, you know, we'll have to see how this all shakes out. There was some sort of sketchy stuff, right, that happened at the 11th hour. I mean, that definitely seemed to be in violation of the state's constitution in terms of what they allowed. Ballots that weren't even postmarked, as we understand it. Anyway, so Pennsylvania would represent 20 electoral votes. If he could get some other states, maybe Wisconsin, maybe Michigan, worked out in the legal system, that could represent 46. You know, that would actually put him in a position where he would be going to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives would vote via each state's delegation. They get one member of the delegation for each state. This happened before, by the way, nearly 200 years ago, back in 1824, so 196 years ago, John Quincy Adams versus Andrew Jackson. That's what it came down to. Meanwhile, as far as the vice president, and this is just fun to think about and talk about, because what a scene this would be if President Trump were to be elected by the state delegates from the House of Representatives, the vice president would go to the Senate. And the way the numbers work out there, the Democrats have an advantage. So can you imagine them putting in Kamala Harris? Boy, that would be quite the Match Made in Heaven. That would be some must-see TV, shall we say. Anyway, like I said, some good news out of Pennsylvania, some good news out of Nevada, and some good news for Michael Flynn as we look forward to this wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. You know who's out there really trying to put the pressure on and say there's no way that Americans are going to accept any kind of overturning of this election? That's Joe Biden. I want to go to Audrey, who's joining us right now from Maryland, who really isn't too thrilled with that speech. Audrey, welcome to America First. This is Trish Regan.
Hi, Trish. I almost forgot what I was going to say. I waited so long.
Oh, I anyway, apologize. You are such a patient
that's
woman.
All right.
Thank
I
you.
Know what it's like. But first of all, I want to say I'm sorry, you know, Sarah Carter. I am also a Carter of Virginia. And so I'd love to talk to her about the opioid thing, especially with seniors. I'm an 85-year-old woman. And I'm thinking about, you know, and I've been in touch with the FDA and so on. But anyway, my head almost exploded this afternoon. I saw on the news that and here on the tube that that sick, perverted old fool Biden was going to give his Thanksgiving speech to the people of the country. Like he's, you know, already the president. And
well,
I'm like,
I think he thinks he is, right? I mean, the media said it. So you got to believe it. If the media says it, if Fox News says it, if the Associated Press and NBC News and the rest of them say it. Yeah, no, I hear you. The president hasn't conceded, however, and there are these legal challenges going on.
Well, I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't. You know, don't give up. Don't give up. No, because I think this. Mm-hmm. The man definitely, he's sick. He's not mentally well, nor physically well. And I have noticed a difference in his walking now. You know, before he would come out, before, you know, all this stuff came out about him winning, he would kind of limp a little bit or walk slowly or, you know, stagger a little bit and or trip or whatever. And then after this came out, it seems like, in fact, they showed him on TV or him running out, I guess, to make a speech or something, whatever it is they tell him to do. And my thought was, they're giving that man steroid shots.
Well, look, I think that, and, you know, you're 85 years old, you said. I'm not an ageist. I really believe that. You know, if you've got your health, you've got everything, Audrey. And hopefully the problem is, you know, unfortunately, he's kind of an older version of that age. You know, there's plenty of people that are in that age range that act a lot better and more with it. But I'll give you that. I mean, he really seems to have declined incredibly over the last several years. But, you know, he's now the president of the United States as far as the mainstream media is concerned. I'll tell you this, Audrey. I'll tell you this. This is a president that is not going to give up. I know that because it's not in his DNA. I've gotten to know him over the years. And I think the first time I ever interviewed him was actually back in 2005. And have interviewed him in person multiple times over the years. I actually remember interviewing him when he broke ground. There was a ribbon cutting ceremony at the Trump Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, the real big one. And he had taken over the old post office there. And they had just broken ground and they were going to transform it into the hotel. This was long before he was even running for president. So knowing him as I do, he's not going to give up. And I think that that's important for all of you out there that have supported him so much to know that regardless of what happens on January 20th. And look, I think there's a lot of legal battles. Time is you know, of the essence, nonetheless. I mean, it's a challenging moment in time because the clock is ticking. But he's not going away. I mean, he cares passionately about the country and about this movement. And if you ask me, he was able to reinvigorate the Republican Party in a way that was very necessary because I think Republicans had gotten too much to be the party of the elites, the corporate elite. I mean, that's what happened with both parties, frankly, right? You know, the Clintons, the Bushes, they were kind of representing party lines and big business and international global growth instead of representing the American people. And when you look at what's happened to the economic challenges of the American people over the last 20 or so years, I mean, it's been significant. It really has. You know, my great-grandfather worked in the shoe mills up in New Hampshire at the Amoskog Mills. My grandmother grew up in the mills because back then they had housing and everything for the mill workers. And he loved his job. And she loved living there. She used to tell the most wonderful stories about growing up at the factory. At one point during the Depression, the factory shut down and those jobs went away. And my grandmother said that her father was just never the same. He was never, I mean, they called it the Great Depression. She said it was. I mean, he went into a state of depression because he had four little girls at home and a wife, and he needed to take care of them. And he lost his job. And when he lost his job, he lost his identity. In his case, he also lost his housing and everything, right? Because they were there in the mill. And it, you can't underestimate how important it is for people to have that sense of purpose and to be proud of their ability to take care of their loved ones. And so for all these jobs to have just disappeared, you know, in that case, the shoe mills relocated down south, and then eventually they offshored, right? But think of the hardship that it meant for those way back in the 1930s at the Amoskog Mills in New Hampshire. Think of what it meant down south after those jobs relocated to Asia. I mean, this is real stuff, and these are people's lives, and these parties haven't cared about it. The difference is Trump resonated because he showed he cared. I am Trish Regan. Please go and subscribe to the YouTube channel right now. Promise me you'll do that, and I'll be right back with more America First in for Sev after this.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you so much, Seb. It's great to be here with all of you. 1-833-33-GORKA is the number. 1-833-33-GORKA. You know, I've been a little concerned when I think back, sort of, and I look at the evidence of and the forensic evidence, and I think we need a real forensic investigation of just exactly who, what, when, where, why, how this all happened with coronavirus. Because, you know, China knew about this. China knew about this way back when, and yet you had the WHO out there saying, oh, it's not so bad, and China's got it under control, and they're going to manage this, and you don't need to shut down the borders, but Donald Trump did so anyway. So what did the WHO know, and why were they carrying China's water? And why are we going to, according to Joe Biden, in his presidency, rejoin the WHO right away? Why is it that Secretary of State Blinken was exchanging emails with Hunter Biden back when Hunter Biden had just gone to Burisma to talk about getting together for coffee? I mean, why is it that we're worried right now about whether or not we're going to have someone really clamping down on China? Because I guess, you know, it feels like deep state at work. Anyway, back to the issue at hand. Just exactly what did China know? When did it know it? And are they responsible for this pandemic? Joining me on the phone right now, we have none other than my friend Gordon Chang, one of the smartest guys out there on China, who's written numerous books and devoted his career to studying the hazards of the CCP and the dangers of the CCP. You can follow him on Twitter right now at Gordon G. Chang. Good to have you here. Good to talk to you again, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Trish, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, so you've spent a lot of time on this, and I'm sort of perplexed because they were out there telling the world, not that bad. They locked down Wuhan And yet they were still allowing people to travel internationally in and out of China. If they locked down Wuhan, right? Let's just talk about it in layman's terms. Like, Wuhan's a big city, right? It's like, you know, Chicago. People go from Chicago to New York all the time. I'm sure people go from Wuhan to Shanghai, to Beijing, to other places, right? I mean, people travel. And so if they locked down this one area, why wouldn't they have prevented people from leaving the country?
That's a great question. And I think that the answer is that China deliberately spread the disease beyond its borders. Now, we don't know the origin of the coronavirus, but we do know that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, took steps in December and January that he knew would lead inevitably to the spread of this disease beyond China. So that's why I think that he locked down Wuhan and surrounding cities. And at the same time, not only did he allow travel to other countries, he actually pressured other countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China, which means that because he imposed those measures in China, he thought they were effective. That means because he was leaning on other countries, he knew that he was spreading the disease. This really looks malicious.
It looks malicious to you. I mean, so why? So would he spread the disease? Was he trying to like level the economic playing field? Is he like, okay, so China's going to deal with this, so the rest of you all have to deal with it too?
Well, we don't know exactly what was in his mind, but we do know that if that was indeed his intention, he would have done exactly what in fact he did, which means that there are no benign explanations for Xi Jinping's actions. He knew the disease was highly contagious. He lied about this, trying to convince the world that it was not. Then he forced countries to accept arrivals from China. You put those two things together, Trish, and clearly he was trying to kill people around the world because he knew that this disease was fatal, and yet he was forcing them to take it and lying about its transmissibility.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty horrific thing to think about. And, you know, I guess it doesn't even matter why, right? I mean, you can hypothesize, well, why would they do that? Is their economy? Did they want to influence our election, et cetera? Who knows? But the point is, they did it. So what are we going to do about it, Gordon?
Well, so far, the Trump administration has withdrawn from the World Health Organization. And as you pointed out, President-elect Biden says that on day one, he's going to rejoin. Now, this is horrible because the World Health Organization was actually complicit in what China did. When senior doctors at the WHO knew that this disease was highly contagious, Dr. Tedros, the director general, actually issued a January 9th statement and his infamous January 14th tweet telling the world it was not contagious. So this was something that he knew or had to know was a false narrative. He had to know that this was going to cause infections and deaths around the world. And indeed, you know, we can only guess what was going through his mind, but clearly he was not discharging his obligations. But we need to do more than just withdraw from the WHO. We need to impose costs on China because this is not the last pathogen that will escape from Chinese soil. And we cannot allow Chinese leaders to think that they can deliberately spread the next disease, which could indeed be more contagious and more deadly than the coronavirus.
Gordon, don't go anywhere. We have a caller who is very struck by what you just said. Oh, hang on to that. Well, I'll just paraphrase what she's saying. We'll have to get to her in the next block. But she Kim from Rhode Island, says you took the words right out of her mouth, Gordon. No one's paying attention to China. And China's the one that she thinks really is, like you do, pretty responsible for a lot of this. I mean, again, I hear you, and there's some questions about the origin, and that's something that's going to be debated by scientists for years. But nonetheless, if they knew, why did they allow it? And why aren't we doing anything? What's going to happen with the next administration when it comes to China, and what is it going to mean for everyday Americans?
Well, you know, your caller from Rhode Island has more common sense and would indeed implement better policies than what we have heard from people in the incoming Biden administration, because what they want to do is cooperate with China. And I don't know how you do that after China has taken steps that have now resulted in the deaths of 260,000 Americans. I mean, this makes, to me, this is horrific. But your caller from Rhode Island, if he or she were running U.S. policy, would be doing a much better job because he or she would be defending the U.S.
You know, I think that was actually one of the main reasons why Trump resonated and continues to resonate so much, right? Because you got all these think tanky people out there and they've all got their own vested interests. And along came Trump and he's like, that doesn't really make sense. And it was sort of you needed that common sense approach to policy that we've been lacking. I mean, and you go back to the Clinton years. I've looked at, you know me, Gordon, because my finance background, I can't get away from charts and numbers. I look at those numbers, right, of China's GDP, and I compare and contrast them with ours. I mean, they have just exploded ever since Clinton. So they're doing great. We're still challenged. If we're not paying attention to this, we're going to wake up one day, and China will be, in the very near future, the world's biggest, largest, most successful economy, including per capita. Gordon Chang, thank you so much. They can follow you on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Okay, coming up next, we're talking about why the president isn't getting more support from the GOP.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2t.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Oh, you know we are on the side of the U.S. Constitution. And we are all about freedom of speech here on this show with Seb Gorka and on my show, The Trish Regan Show. I have a brand new podcast. And if you don't go to, I'm going to be so upset. I want you to go and I want you to listen to this on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, on Amazon, anywhere you get your podcast, I'm going to be. So just look me up, Trish Regan. It's the Trish Intel Show because I have all the intel on what's going on and I'm always looking for more. Anyway, I'm a big believer in diversity of thought. And as a journalist, to me, you always really need to be on the seeking truth, really. And the truth, we were talking to Sarah Carter earlier. It's not always that easy, right, to see. So part of your job is to put it all out there so that people, again, trust in the individual, so that people can make their own decisions about what's actually going on. And right now you look at the media and how they have treated this president from the very beginning, and you look at the difference between their treatment of Donald Trump and their treatment of Joe Biden, it's really nauseating. It just is. It's so biased. And frankly, I find this to be very dangerous. This is a threat to our democracy. When you can't have varying opinions, when you can't have some appreciation for the office of the presidency, you got problems. Anyway, I want to get to the call lines. They are all lit up again. Wonderful to have you here. 1-833-33-GORKA. Okay, let's go to Alyssa joining us right now from Louisiana. Alyssa, welcome. It's Trish Regan.
It's Alita, A-L-E-T-A.
Forgive me, Alita. Welcome to the program. That's a beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you, my dad. I just wanted to tell you we love you at our house and we miss you on Fox and what's going on with Fox because Tucker was ugly to Sidney Powell that I love, and then look at Ingram. She's turning on Trump now, and she's wanting to accept Biden, and I don't know what's going on with these people because I used to trust all these people, and now I don't trust anybody but Dr. Seb, Gorka, and you, and, you know, people like that. That I have to get off of the media and Newsmax. That's it.
Well, Newsmax, yeah, and their ratings have gone up so significantly, and I even see so many of you have reached out to me, and I know you're tuning in to the podcast, and I know you're tuning into the YouTube channel, and for a lot of you, you know, maybe you didn't get your news this way in the past, but you kind of have to now if you want to really drill down and get it. What is what, and to hear a diversity of opinion. I mean, I can't answer that entirely. I wish I had an answer for you. I can just tell you that as a journalist, I feel that you need to be committed to making sure you see this through. And right now we're in a situation where the President of the United States has not conceded this election. So it's one thing for Fox to call it or AP to call it. It's a whole other thing when the other candidate, in this case, the one that's the underdog, right, calls up the other one and says, congratulations, and they concede. And this president is not doing that. Instead, he's challenging this in courts in these various states. And thus, until that stuff works its way through, You can't just say, okay, well, you know, we, the media, deem Joe Biden the president of the United States. I mean, we really need to let this process go through. And we're coming up on a deadline, right? So time is of the essence. But, Aleda, I appreciate your call. And, you know, that just made my day, what you said about liking the show and how you used to watch me. And I want to encourage you all to watch me on YouTube and to download the podcast on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, on Amazon, and on TrishIntel.com. Thank you so much. We've got Darren right now in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Darren.
Hi, Trish. Hi. I just wanted to say I love your show. I think you have an incredible voice for radio, by the way. And
thank you.
I love Sebastian Gorka. I listen to him
every day.
He's
another incredible voice for radio.
Yes, he has a way of saying things. The reason I called in is because I am in complete outrage over this election. And what really kicks me off even more, Trump actually gave a spine and a backbone to the Republican Party. And now where in the heck are all the Republicans? They should be out in the media daily with all the evidence that Giuliani and Sidney Powell have come up with. Not to mention, there was a live scroll that I had sent to me on Facebook Messenger, actually, and it showed a scrolling as they did the night of the election, and they would go to Michigan, Wisconsin, and then it would scroll around to Pennsylvania again. The second time it scrolled around, they subtracted 30,000 votes from Trump.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really confusing. And this is what they're trying to get to the bottom of. Rudy Giuliani there with Jenna Ellis in Pennsylvania today. Great sound that I want to play for you from the hearing next. Don't go anywhere, everyone. This is Trish Regan in for Seb Gorka. And I'm back with more America First after this.
Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
You know, I want to help Seb out today, and I want to help out a lot of little kids today, and I want to help out a lot of parents today, and I want to help out Angel Tree today. So I need your help. He is just 68 children away, 68 sponsorships away from being halfway to his goal. For what he wants to commit to Angel Tree this Christmas. You know, I'm a mom, so I get it. I know how wonderful it is, how enriching it is to see the joy on children's faces when they open their little Christmas presents, you know, as a parent. And you know, knowing that Santa got it for them or that mom and dad went out and got it for them, that's a big deal for a kid, right? But when your parent's in prison, it can be a whole different ballgame, right? And that's where the Prison Fellowship Angel Tree program steps in. And that's where your donations really make it possible for children to have that gift on Christmas. A prisoner's child can actually receive a gift from their parent, a personalized note from mom or dad, and access to a Bible in either English or Spanish. Last year, the Angel Tree program blessed over 300,000 prisoners, of children of prisoners, all over America. And I want you to hear from two of them, Alana and Quentin, and they're talking about what they love most about being part of an Angel Tree Christmas.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts thanks to you. And I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares. So I just want to thank you for that. And I love Christmas. Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do. Because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it. And I really appreciate it.
I know you don't have to. But if you choose to do it, I'll appreciate it too. It's your turn to share the love of Christ through a donation to Seb Gorka's Angel Tree campaign. All you have to do is go to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, or phone your donation by calling our special number. That's 888-206-2794, 888-206-2794. You know, for $220, I know it feels like a lot, but think of what you're going to be able to do. You are going to be able to bless 10 little kids. 10 children of prisoners with personalized Christmas presents, a personal note from their incarcerated parent. Plus, every Angel Tree family is also given access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or in Spanish. So please go to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, and thank you. Thank you from me. Thank you from Seb. Thank you from Angel Tree. And thank you from everyone here at Salem. You know, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. I wonder what you're doing this holiday season. Tomorrow, in fact, are you getting together with family? Are you breaking the rules like I am? Inviting the neighborhood over? Well, at least that way they can't call 911 on me, right? I want to go to the call lines right now. You've been calling in 1-833-33-GORKA. So many of you are talking about China. I want to go to Kim in Rhode Island because I referenced Kim with Gordon Chang. Gordon said Kim should be working in the White House as opposed to these people that are there. Kim, welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's nice to hear you on the radio. I miss you on TV.
Oh, you're very sweet. You're very sweet, and I'm glad to be here.
I was just wanting to say with what Mr. Chang said, I'm so sick and tired of these people. You know what? Everybody, you know, all the virus and everybody's fighting against each other. You know what it's like? It's like, you know, when the little kid went to school and he put a tack on little Joey's chair and then everybody started fighting and everything and little Joey leaves the room and he gets out scot-free and the rest of the classroom gets punished?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going on. And we are the laughing stock of all the other countries. And I tell everybody, I said, you know, and they say, oh, my God, the virus. And I said, well, listen, I said, it's China's fault. They gave it to us.
Yeah.
And you know what I get?
What?
Crickets.
What do you mean, crickets?
I get like, oh,
like,
well,
I mean,
yeah,
people don't want to say anything. They don't agree with you? Or they're afraid
they
to
just
agree
like,
with you?
Oh, well, okay. They're very submissive. And I really get so mad. And I'm like, no one cares because they care about the virus. And another thing is, in Rhode Island, we turned Rhode Island red, only they won't, we had, I believe, in my opinion, that we had fraud here too. But I believe that we turned Rhode Island red because Rhode Island obviously is a Democratic state. Mm-hmm. But we do have a lot of Republicans here in Rhode Island. So,
you know, the Republicans need to stick together right now, and they need to galvanize behind this movement, because I'm telling you one thing, Donald Trump, regardless of what happens January 20th, he's not going anywhere in that he's not just going to ride off into the sunset. He has started something, and knowing him, he is going to want to see this through, which means he is going to be very committed. And I think that the Republicans kind of need to understand and accept that they can't go back to status quo. They can't go back to the way things were. They can't go back to just big business and lobbying money and this, that, and the other. The people have spoken, and we care too much about our future, and we care about our children's future, and we're not just going to roll over and play dead anymore. No way, Jose. Kim, great talking to you. I want to go to Tom on line three, who's joining us right now from California, and he agrees, I think, with Kim that China is just out of control. Hey there, Tom.
Hello, Trish. You're doing a great job as usual, subbing for Dr. Gorka. You know, yeah.
Some big shoes to fill.
I'm sorry?
I'm laughing. Some big shoes to fill. He's a dear friend and a talented guy.
You're doing a great job. You know, as a follow-up to Kim, it's shocking when you look at it. Red China for decades, and it's gotten worse now, has been the biggest, most evil, murdering monster nation in the world. Not the people, but the vile, devilish Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. The way they torture the Uyghurs by putting them on an operating table and murdering them by taking their internal organs for harvesting. What they've done to Hong Kong, the spreading of this virus. And for us to join WHO again, WHO, with Joe Biden, we are complicit in promoting evil. Every good nation in the world that cares about decency should unite, boycott these guys, stop them. They have a mission, Kim, to take, Trish, to take over the world, and they're doing a damn good job of it. I think they're the biggest danger the world faces. They've got to be confronted by brave Christians.
Well, we got to do something. I don't have a lot of faith if Biden's successful here, but we do have to do something. And I look forward to talking to you guys some more, because we got some good news out of Pennsylvania I want to share with you. Could actually affect this election. That's next.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Well, some good news ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. A Pennsylvania judge is halting election certification amid this whole mail-in vote fight. You know, the concern is that Pennsylvania kind of went out on a limb there with the mail-in voting law, which totally violated the state's constitution. That is what Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, as well as Jenna Ellis, you know her well, I know she's on the show quite a bit. This is what they're arguing today in Pennsylvania. And at least temporarily, there's going to be no more certification until the next hearing, which can be held on Friday. So we got another hearing coming on Friday. And this is important. Also, a little bit of good news coming out of Nevada. The Washington Examiner is reporting a development there, which could suggest, it could, I don't want to get anybody too excited here, but it could let Trump present ballot evidence, which could overturn Nevada's results. Now, keep in mind, time is of the essence. But I look at it like this. We need to get to the bottom of whatever happened, because, you know, people say, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, it's not enough to sway the election if you discover even, you know, this many votes. And I'm like, wait a second, but there should be never so much as one illegal vote. And people will say, well, you know, you just have to accept that there's some fraud in any election. I'm like, no. I am not, as an American, going to accept that there's any fraud in any election. I don't want it. It's not the right thing for the country. It's not the right thing for voters. And we can't allow that. So we'll see how this all progresses. But I say, listen, he's committed. His legal team is committed. We need to stay committed to finding out the truth. The truth matters. And, you know, they want to shut it down. I mean, hey, I went through the whole darn thing myself. Last March, in fact, when the left went bonkers, because what did I do? I admitted the truth. I told you exactly what this was. Coronavirus was being used for political purposes. I told you when the market was tanking 2,300 points, I said, listen, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. By the way, if you'd taken my advice, you would have made a lot of money. Guys, we went from 23,000 on the Dow to 30,000 now. The point being, I knew what anyone should really know, if they're not trying to exaggerate this for political reasons, I knew that we would find a vaccine. I knew that American creativity and American capitalism would find a way to handle this. And nobody wanted to hear that. Nobody wanted to hear that. So the left shuts me down. The media shuts me down. Well, you know what? I can't be shut down. Sorry. I'm Trish Regan. I'm here to tell you the truth. I can be nothing but honest. So please follow my podcast. Download, subscribe to The Trish Regan Show. Get all the intel on trishintel.com on YouTube. I am going to see you right back there online. And Seb will be back with you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone. Absolutely wonderful. God bless America.